You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine coming to you with the weekly wrap for the week ended the 24th of November. And with me today is my special guest, Craig Ponty, one of the three founding and also current directors of Ray White Double Bay, who are celebrating 30 years in real estate in a little over a week's time. So welcome, Craig, and thanks for dropping by.
Thanks,
Sam. So it's less than a month until Christmas, and this week we've profiled you and your other directors, Michael Finger and Elliot Plax, the series we called The Three Wise Men, because you guys are probably one of the closest things to three wise men, maybe other than, let's say, Macca, Tom Panos and Chris Hanley, but they don't all work in the same place. Thanks for dropping by. And we're just going to talk a little bit about your career and some of the things that you've done, because it's quite fascinating to see how the market and the industry has changed. So you've been in the industry for 39 years.
Yep.
So when you started, did you think you would still be here?
Yeah, look, it's pretty interesting. I think, you know, like all people that first start in real estate, it's an exciting adventure and you sort of don't really map out your journey, you know, 39 years down the track. But if I think about the ride, it's been fantastic. You know, it's an amazing business. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about personal energy and passion. And, you know, you hear all those words used around the industry quite a lot. And it's just a good, fun business to be in. And particularly if you like people, you know, if you enjoy being with people and you understand a bit of process, you can make a lot of money and have a lot of fun in this business.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about the early days. So you actually started in property management.
Yeah, so I started at a company called AH Taylor. Taylor's bought Century 21 to Australia back in the 80s. I started on the 28th of November 1978. I'll never forget that fateful day.
Wow.
And the person that employed me is my now current business partner, Mike Finger. So he was the property manager at AH Taylor. And I was fortunate enough, met a guy in a lift. My father was a real estate agent, had a business called Elder and Rose at Rockdale in South Hurstville, out south where I grew up. And I wanted to be a lawyer, and I did a year of uni and hated it. And so my father organised an interview with Sir Keith Campbell from LJ Hooker back then in the 1978. So I went for an interview, but I went to the wrong building. And on the way down in the lift, I asked this bloke, I said, mate, you know, where's Hooker House? Like, I'm going there. Can you show me where it is? And he said, look, I've got my car parked there. Come on, I'll show you. So along the way, he introduced himself. He was a guy called Tony Ashford, who owned Stuart Upton in those days, which was the no sale, no charge business back in the late 70s on the North Shore. And he said, look, you know, if you don't have any luck with Sir Keith, come back and see me. So I went over to see Sir Keith, and he was lovely and told me what I should do. So I went back and sat and waited for Tony to come back from lunch. 2.5 hours later, he turned up and interviewed me for a job. And I was 18 in my bright, shiny suit, ready to rock and roll. And he said, look, would you like to sell over at Gordon? And I said, no. My father told me I need to start off in property management. I'm a boy from the south. You know, I grew up in quite a sheltered environment. And no, property management's where I want to start. So he said, look, I don't know anybody in property management, but come back tomorrow and I'll start ringing a few people. So I went home and told my father, and, you know, he said, gee, that's good news. So I went back the next day and saw Tony, and he sat down, and the first person he rang was a company then, AH Taylor, who were a very big property management business in the late 70s, and spoke to the property manager, Mike Finger. And Mike then said, yeah, sure, I'll send the guy over for an interview. And I went for an interview, and 2 weeks later, I started at AH Taylor. So 9 years there were fantastic.
So tell me about the early years with Mike. Like, what did you learn while you were in property management?
I had 5 years in property management. Those first 5 years were quite informative for me. It was from when I was about 18 until not quite 23. And I think what it taught me was structure and process. Around making sure that your follow-up's good and making sure that you communicate with people. So I was one of those property managers that was taught that don't just ring the owner when there's a problem. By the time you're ringing the owner if there's a problem, then there is a problem. You know, you need to build a relationship with those owners so that when you ring them and there's a problem, they go, oh, well, Craig, you know, how do we fix this problem? So I made sure that I had a relationship with all of my clients, and I used to ring them on a regular basis, which then made it a lot easier for me when I then migrated into sales to be able to ring people, because I already had that skill base around making sure I had a set process of contacting those owners. And the other thing for me to migrate then from property management to sales was that I'd had such a great relationship with those property management clients that they were both buyers and sellers along the way. So a number of my early listings, and actually still to this very day, you know, I've got a property going up to auction next Thursday night in Albert Street, Edgecliff, which is a block of 11. I did letting there when I was 19 years old.
Wow.
You know, I'm 57, so, you know, it's a long time ago, and we're now putting it to auction. So, you know, those relationships that I had in those very early years and over my career, I've managed to maintain. And it's just by, you know, following up people, being real and giving them value when you call, not always asking for the listing. You know, you've got to play the long game in this business.
I was about to say that, because that's really playing the long game. There are a lot of people now that are talking about treating buyers, tenants, investors and sellers as the same now, like it's something new, but it's actually not that new.
No, look, not too. Back in the old days, I call it, when Mike and I were at AH Taylor, they got it early on. You know, AH Taylor had a finance business, had an insurance business. You know, those boys really got it in the early days. Mm. They were probably just a little bit before their time. Now everyone gets it, or everyone supposedly gets it. The company that we're now working with, Ray White, they definitely get it, you know, with their loan market and their wealth market and a number of other things that they're doing at the moment around technology. And they've really stepped up to the plate in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, interesting. So then you moved over to Double Bay. What made you choose the eastern suburbs, and what was that like 30 years ago?
Yeah, look, it sort of chose me rather than me choosing it, to be honest.
Yep.
I was working at Taylor's, and then they decided that they wanted to buy a business down at Edgecliff. And I went along there as the property manager at Edgecliff. And then about 6 months later, Mike joined up, and we then moved down to Double Bay. So Mike was the sales manager at AH Taylor Double Bay, and I was the salesman for a long time. And then towards the end of 87, early 88, we decided we wanted to do our own thing. So we approached a third partner, a guy called Trevor Leach, who had that business in those days.
Yep.
And on the 9th of April 1988, Mike and I joined up with Trevor. And it was like, if you check back, you'll find that it was sort of a week later, the market went berserk.
Yep.
So, you know, we had an amazing run over that period of time. Double Bay in those days is probably no different to what it is today, although when we first started in Double Bay, we were the agent that used to have half a page in the Wentworth Courier. You know, we'd open up the page, and now the big guy in Double Bay in those days was Ron Pillinger, and you turn the Courier over and he'd have like 30 pages, and I think, oh, how am I going to get there fast? You know, why can't we be the Richardson & Wrench? Well, we've got there today, but it's just taken us 30 years to get there, you know.
Yeah.
We're sort of a one-year overnight success, but 30 times over.
It's an interesting place now, because you go down to Double Bay and literally you can sit in a coffee shop and I see faces that I know from around the traps everywhere. It's so competitive. And, of course, we've just recently interviewed Gavin Rubenstein.
Yep.
As well, who is coincidentally 30 as well.
Yeah, can you like, believe that? He sits right next to me in the office, so, you know, I hear a lot about what goes on there, obviously. Yeah, so it's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, well, it is when you sort of think that's the year that you started the business and there's Gavin. So technology has come a long way in 30 years. Like,
yep.
Obviously, Gavin's very prific on Instagram and all that sort of thing.
It's a big thing about part of our business these days.
Yeah, just for the love of history, because I do love a good bit of history. So tell me what your desk looked like back then versus now.
Well, the first day that I sat at Ray White Double Mobile, my desk was actually one of those tiny little typing desks.
Yeah.
with a phone on it that looked like
the rotary phone.
Yeah, but basically looked like something like dinosaurs would use. And what I did is I wrote the phone number of the new office in big numbers and put it on the top, because when I was ringing people back, I was giving them the old number at AH Taylor. But look, in those days there were certainly no mobile phones. Computers were the little Apple that used to sit on your desk that wasn't connected to anything.
Yeah.
In one way, it was actually a good thing, because it actually forced you to go out and see people.
Yeah.
You know, it forced you to be more proactive about talking to somebody and sitting face to face.
You can't hide behind email.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Which in my opinion, you know, like, I think if I look at the agents that I've seen today, the young agents that have been successful, whilst they get social media and they get all that sort of stuff and they get emails, they're putting their body out there in front of people is why they're successful. Because at the end of the day, you can't actually get someone to sign an auction agency agreement unless you're sitting with them, talking to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if there was one thing that I'd really make sure that, you know, new agents are doing today, and we do it in our office, is just make appointments for yourself. It doesn't matter who you're seeing.
Get out
of the
office.
Just go and get out of the office and go and talk to people. The more people you talk to and spread the word, the more people you know, the more people you meet, the more business you'll do. It's a pretty simple business, really. It's not complicated.
Yeah, it is a people business for sure.
No, yeah.
How's Ray White changed over the years?
they've changed dramatically. If I think back in the first, when we first joined up with them, you know, it was pretty exciting in the very early days because they'd just come to New South Wales when we joined. But in the last 5 years, they have really stepped up to the plate. As you know, there have been a couple of major announcements recently with Richard Harding and Jeff Smith from LJ Hooker Mossman changing over to Ray White. That's been great for us because we're good mates with those boys and they run an awesome business. And Vivian Yap.
Well, she's actually the biggest story this week.
Vivian was in my office about 5 or 6 weeks ago. What a lovely lady. Mm. She's a smart woman. It's great to see women doing well in our business because generally it's been more a bastion for men than for women.
Do you know that there's actually more women in the real estate industry now, according to the last census, than men?
Is that right?
Yeah, 56% are women. We've just done a bit of a study on it that's coming out.
So listen, if there's any women out there listening, I'm looking for women salespeople. I want to employ some more. Call me.
Fair enough. So, Vivian was the biggest, biggest story.
And can I tell you, look, that's a great thing for Ray White. So Ray White have really improved themselves around their technology, their financial services offering, their wealth creation offering. There's a number of things that, you know, they've done that are very different to what their competitors are doing. That's why their businesses has grown so much in the last 5 years. They've been a major support to our business. We're very fortunate to have the White family live in our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's always a big thing. Brian White constantly calls, you know, the other day I got a call from him, he was driving down New South Head Road, he saw a release board on a building we had in Double Bay through my commercial business and he rang to tell me that the lease by sticker was the corporately incorrect one, could we please make sure we use the right one? So, you know, when you get calls like that, you can see the guy's passionate about his business, he really wants to see it do well and, you know, that's great because that sort of filters from the top down, you know, when the chairman and the CEO are on song, the rest of the business sort of tends to follow suit.
Yeah, I did interview one of the IT guys, Jason Alford, a couple of issues ago, or maybe last issue, and what he said was really interesting, actually. I said, how do you make decisions based on technology? Because I know Ray White spent a lot of money on technology and innovation and very innovative company. And he said, well, what we do is we start with the testimonial that we want to get from the customer, and then we work back. If the customer can say, this person sold my property at a premium price and they communicated with me well, and they did all the nice things around it, then we work back and go, well, how do we get that testimonial? I thought that was really clever, actually.
They're definitely getting it. You know, Jason's a really smart guy. There's some very, very smart guys and girls within Ray White. You know, Alex Tilbury that's doing all the marketing. She's amazing. So they've got all these resources now that are at my beck and call. So 30 years ago, I didn't have any of those resources. They're now getting with the program. We're now taking advantage of that. We're making sure that if we need help to run our business, we're asking them for it.
Yep.
You know, we're not sort of sitting back going, oh, well, we don't hear from our franchisor. You know, we're engaging with them and making sure that we get value out of what they provide. And they've been providing awesome value.
Yeah, absolutely. You must have sold some amazing properties. Well, I mean, we've had a few of them on our website and things like that. What is the most memorable property that you've ever sold?
I've probably got a couple, actually. One of the first things I ever sold was a unit in Streetfield Road, in Unit 6, Number 4, Streetfield Road, Bellevue Hill, for some people called John and Maribel Caradat, who are still clients to this day.
You never forget the first address, do you?
Yeah, that was one of the first sales I ever made. Two-bedroom unit in Bellevue Hill for $123,000, I think it was. It's probably worth about $1.4 today, so that's one of the first ones. The other one that really has been a good one for me, I sold a project down at Advanks at Rushcutters Bay and Advanks East. So I did 285 apartments there off the plan, a bit over $320 million worth of sales over a five-year period. So, and I'd originally sold the developer the land for $61 million, part of it. And I actually lived there in one of the penthouses. So that one for me has been fantastic. And lately, in the last year or two, Bishop's Court that we sold for the Anglican Church for $18 million was quite a good sale to get away. Had heritage issues and was quite challenging and had been in the press, you know, quite a bit.
Mm.
And the one that I'm currently marketing, which I've been very fortunate to get appointed on, 38B, the Crescent Vaucluse, which has been phenomenal. You know, nearly an acre on the waterfront in Vaucluse. So the inquiry has come from everywhere. You know, we've had it from New York and we've had it from India, Shanghai, Beijing. It's been quite phenomenal.
I read somewhere that's got a pub in it too, that property.
Yeah, like our client has a penchant for pubs, but it's a fantastic, you know, to sit and have a beer in his pub is quite good fun, actually.
With selling prestige property, what does your team setup look like?
I've had the same PA now for 11 years, Violet, who's been with me and looks after me and does a great job. So it's just her and I really at the end of the day. But I'm fortunate that I can draw on other salespeople in my business if I need any help with anything. So, you know, I've got a team of 25 there. So there's always plenty of people that want to put their hand up and help out.
I bet. Given the longevity of your career, what do you think has been your most valuable skill or superpower as an agent over that period of time?
Superpower. I wish I had a superpower. I think it's, you know, it's all the ones that everyone always says. It's a matter of being passionate, still enjoying what you're doing. I still find it challenging. For me, it's always been about energy. Our business is about making sure that we're focused and that we've set some goals to achieve what we want to achieve. I have an expensive lifestyle to maintain, like everybody else in the world, I'm sure. I like driving nice cars and going away on overseas holidays and all the things that success brings, quite important. And I don't think you can get to any stage of that unless you've got a plan. Most people just don't plan around their life as to what it looks like.
It's interesting because we're talking about goals and things at the moment. Obviously, you get that everyone sort of tends to rewrite their agreement with themselves at this time of the year.
Every year with my wife, actually.
Yeah.
We sit down and rewrite our goals in January.
So you do plan out your goals every year?
Yeah, no, look, I've got some business goals that I want to achieve for myself, and I've got some personal goals with my wife, but we've been doing that for years, sitting down, writing on one piece of paper all the things, and then revisiting it at Christmas time, see which ones we've crossed off and which ones we haven't. I've just been a bit of a believer, if you don't write it down, then it doesn't happen.
Mm.
That was probably as a result of doing some Fred Gross training many years ago, just about making sure that you can visualise what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I was reading my predictions for 2017 this morning.
And it was to meet Craig Ponty?
It was, actually.
Oh,
well, that was on my wish list, yeah. But, you know, like, it's interesting when you do write them down and you do stick something out there in the universe, that it's always there as a permanent record.
Yeah. Any young agents out there listening, I think it's quite important that you need to be writing down what you're doing and have a plan for your week. Back in those days when I did Fred Gross training, probably over 20 years ago, that was the stuff that he used to preach heavily about having a plan. You know, you've got, and in that plan for your week, there is some time for you to go and have lunch with your mates or do whatever you do on a regular basis.
It's not all about work.
Correct.
You've got to work, but
yeah, sure. Yeah. You've got to have some time to party and celebrate, for sure.
Absolutely. What does a typical day look like for you at the moment?
My days are, some of them are structured and some of them aren't. We have a regular Monday morning sales meeting at 8:30 to get everybody wound up and going. I have a regular fortnightly meeting with my general manager to sit down and go through all the stuff that's happening in the office just to make sure that everyone's on track. I have a regular fortnight meeting with my marketing manager, Todd, to sit down and have a bit of a look and make sure that all of the advertising and all of the marketing, social media and all that sort of stuff is actually happening. Tuesday mornings, 8:30, we have a regular training meeting with all the guys. Not compulsory, but it's amazing how many of the guys turn up.
Just to keep everybody current.
Yeah, correct. Yep. And that's normally a skills training set. So it'll be like a hand-to-hand combat type. You know, someone will be having a problem with a vendor picking up vendor paid advertising or talking about educating around price or, you know, those sorts of things. So, you know, we just sort of role play those things. Other than auctions every Thursday night, that's probably about it. On a personal basis, I go to gym Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6 o'clock every morning and have for the last 5 or 6 years. Try and drop a little bit of weight and keep myself as fit as possible. You know, I've got a couple of other personal things that I do that are set times, but my week tends to be a little bit more unstructured other than those meetings that I mentioned. That way it frees it up for if something happens in the office and somebody needs some help or, you know, vendor rings or something happens. You know, you tend to be doing your vendor meetings these days later and later. You know, vendors want to see you at night time.
After work,
You can sit and have a chat and, you know, rather than make it like a formal meeting.
Yeah, for sure. For the younger agents that might be listening, if you could give your younger self, let's say, one piece of advice, what would that be?
Pretty easy, just never give up. You know, don't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
And I think if I look at the younger guys in my office that have been successful, trying to get process and structure into those guys sometimes is difficult. But if they've got the right energy and they just never give up and don't take no for an answer, and not to be a pest of yourself, but to try and demonstrate to somebody that you're the right person to do the job, both on a professional and a personal level, is quite important. And I think the only thing, and my father taught me this, he was an agent, as I said, that you just have to play the long game. You know, and you've got to believe that if you play the long game, it'll definitely pay your dividends. And I'm a great example of that. You know, 39 years on, I'm still playing the long game and it's still paying me dividends.
Yeah.
And I'm still selling property for people that I dealt with, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. And I'm hoping for the next 10, 20, 30 years to be doing it as well.
So when you say never give up, like, everyone in real estate has bad days. And I'm sure you've had your fair share of them over 39 years. Because not every day is sunshine and roses.
Correct.
But how do you pick yourself up and get back on the horse and forget the bad day, wash it off, and then just keep going?
Yeah, look, can I tell you, that is definitely a challenge in our business. And I think that's probably the greatest challenge for a lot of people, is weathering the highs and the lows of our business, because there's some fantastic highs, but you can have some miserable lows. For me, I can't remember who actually taught me this. Somebody did years ago. I've got a list of about 8 or 9 people that I can ring up, and they always tell me I'm a genius. So if my energy's feeling really bad, I know that I can ring certain people just to shoot the breeze. Some of them are very high net worth people, some not, some that I've sold stuff to previously. And I know when I ring them, they're gonna make me feel good. No matter what happens during that conversation, yep. They always say, oh, I saw you, you've got such and such a property, Craig, or I saw you on television the other, or whatever, I saw you somewhere, and they just make me feel good. So there's that for me. And the other one for me, when I'm feeling really bad at my desk, I just go for a walk around Double Bay. So I get up from my desk, doesn't matter what the weather's like, and I just go for a wander. And by the time I'm wandering, I'll run into somebody I know for sure, whether it be a shopkeeper or an owner or whoever it is. And always people want to ask about property. You know, it's just a natural. As soon as they see you and they know you and they know you're in property, how's the market? That's always the first, you know, the first thing. And for me, it's an easy conversation to have because I'm immersed in it every single minute of my life, you know.
Yeah, and then that just sort of, that breaks, yeah, the, and it breaks
just
the cycle.
It just sort of breaks your energy, you know, and it makes you pick yourself up.
Yeah.
You know, because you can have some miserable lows in this business.
Depending on what the market might be doing or depending on what other people might be doing or whatever, you know, we hear of it happening a lot.
Yeah, and look, the other thing is that, you know, there are a lot of people in my business, and generally speaking, if they're having a bad day, some people try and suck energy out of you as a result of the fact that they're having a bad day. So you just got to deal with that.
Yeah.
And try and hold the line the best you can and make sure that you're positive and help people around, you know, what's going on in their lives.
Yeah. And like Taylor Swift says, shake it off.
Yeah, shake it off. I like that.
Do you have a mentor or someone that inspires you?
Oh, I think there are plenty of people out there that inspire me. Besides my partner, Mike Finger, that I've been with for 39 years, and my beautiful wife, Wendy, who's been putting up with me for the last 34 years. She's been a saint and a fantastic person to... I enjoy, you know, reading. There are a number of things that I think are important. I read the financial papers every day to keep an eye out on what's happening there. So I sort of draw inspiration from some of those guys. I think that, you know, there are a number of industry leaders out there that are great. I'm very fortunate to be able to call, you know, any of those people when I want. I mentioned to you that I was sitting with Tracy Fellows the other night at the ARIA Awards, an amazing woman.
She trended this week too, actually. Yeah, I did an interview with her and it was... fabulous. Like
she was fantastic. You know, I had a long chat with her, but there are a number of people out there like that that over the 39 years of my career I've sort of sought out and been able to have, you know, some of their time to sit with them. And you normally find that when you sit with those people in more of a social environment that you really find out what they're like and what drives them and what helps them, you know, do what they need to do and run their businesses. And I think the common theme that I've seen over the years is energy. It's energy and focus and all the things that everyone says, but it's really hard to do it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone says, oh, it's easy to be focused, it's easy to be energetic, but try and do it every single day. We've got our 30th birthday coming up. We're having a big party on the 9th of December, and Andrew Bell from Ray White at Surface Paradise, who I have a very high regard for, sent me a really nice note a couple of days ago saying that unfortunately he couldn't make it because they've got their 30th birthday as well coming up.
Well,
interesting enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, the note that he wrote was more along the lines of, look, it's been fantastic because we've been head-to-head competitors over the years for the number one Ray White gig for the last 30 years. And his note said that whilst it was great to have that competition between our offices, what he thought was more important was that endurance. You know, we've all been going for 30 years. We've been at the top of our game. We've been running big businesses. We've been focused and we've been energetic about making sure, you know, we push on. And he made the comment that that endurance for him is probably more so a recognition of what he's built in his business and we've built in ours over that period of time. There just aren't too many businesses. If you sort of run through the real estate industry, there aren't too many businesses like ours and Andrew's that have been at the top of their game for 30 years.
Yeah. Although, you know, just another bit of trivia for you, with the census data that we sort of have been crunching this week, there are still 94-year-olds out there working in real estate.
Is that right?
Wow. I'm trying to track them down.
Wow.
Because I'd like to interview them.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll be the fifth one. You never know. I've got a while to go yet.
Yeah, you do. You do. You've got a long time to go. So let's just talk about the next 12 months. What do you see for the next 12 months in the industry?
So, look, I think the market's been changing the last 2 or 3 months. Things are getting a little bit tougher. There's no doubt about that. Money's getting a little bit harder to borrow, which is probably part of the challenge. You know, there's talk of China slowing down a bit and money, you know, starting to slow down coming out of there. You know, we're pretty fortunate in the East. No matter what the market does, there's still always buyers and sellers for us for just different reasons. I suspect the market next year for us will be pretty similar to what it is now. You know, there'll be some great sales and there'll be some ordinary sales. And I think that the top end's probably, you know, going to maintain itself. It's incredible how many people there are out there looking at the moment in that top end. You know, people that have either floated businesses or money coming in from offshore, or there's just a myriad of things happening out there in that real prestige end of the market. So, you know, I think days on market might start to blow out a little bit. So, you know, from an energy viewpoint, if I'm an agent, it's going to be a little bit harder to manage. I think that marketing, both print media and social media, I think are going to really come to the fore. I've always been a big believer in print media, even though many people out there tell me I'm a bit of a dinosaur around it.
Leanne Drury from Mackay, she was down here and she said, I get most of my buyers from print still in the regional areas. I think they still like to go to their local paper.
Yeah, look, I think people, you know, you get those aspirational buyers that just like flicking through the paper and go, oh, there's that property in Willara, I better go and have a look at it. I think so that happens, you know.
That's why we still have a magazine, I think.
Yeah.
Because people like flicking through that.
Yeah, no. Generally speaking, I think the market will be okay next year. I don't think there's any reason for anyone to panic. You know, there's a lot of outside influence that could change that, but I suspect it'll be pretty much an even keel, and, you know, it may come off a little bit. If it does come off, it's probably going to come off, you know, maybe 4 or 5%. We may see prices slow down a little bit. But days on market will be the key. I think they're already starting to blow out a little bit. So instead of that, you know, we were averaging 26 days, you know, we're now averaging 34. It's sort of every month it creeps up a bit. And so that from a business viewpoint, just managing that extra energy and managing the guys around their process and their language with vendors and how they go about educating the vendors as to what's happening in the market, quite important.
It's going to be key.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, I'm sure too there'll be people that will be seeing this like little bit of softening that we've seen in the numbers as well, that they'll be seeing this as hard. But then over 39 years that you've been in real estate, how many times do you reckon you've seen the...
Yeah, I've seen 5 or 6 of these cycles, which is a good thing because we started about 3 months ago gearing our guys up. So, you know, Mike and I have been through this before. We've seen the good, the bad, and the really ugly. And, you know, the same patterns start to develop, and that's what's happening out there. So I think it's now a matter of, you know, a lot of agents have been telling people their houses are worth a lot of money. Sometimes they're not worth quite as much as everybody thinks. And so now it's more about, you know, how do you go about that process in educating the vendor and placing the property in a price band where you're achieving a level that everyone's comfortable with. You know, the best deals are always done when the vendor's really happy and so's the buyer. You know, that's always a great deal.
Yeah, and it's always best to be straight with people, right?
You know, you'll see if you go through some of the websites, there are a number of properties that have been on the market for a long time. And that's as a result of, you know, definitely the skill of the agent and the not so skill of the agent in that instance, because, you know, to have a property on the market for 12 or 18 months is ridiculous. It can only be about two things. It's either the price or the agent. It's pretty simple. It's nothing more or nothing less.
Yeah, absolutely. Now on to important things. What about this party? Thank you very much for the invite. I'm very much looking forward to it.
What's happening? Pretty good fun. So it's only going to be a little small gig, 450 people down at Dalton House. So
it's almost as big as the area is.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly enough, we've been quite amazed. Realestate.com, one of our major sponsors, as is News Limited and Wentworth Courier. We've got Trevett Bespoke, all the cars, you know, the Astons, the Bentleys, the Rollers and the McLarens. So we'll actually have a Rolls Royce there on the night, which will be good fun. Macquarie Bank, one of our major sponsors. We've been banking with them for nearly 30 years, so I don't like change much, as you can see, you know. Same business partner, same wife, same bank, you know, all those sorts of things are important to me.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, congratulations on 30 years. It's an amazing achievement to you and to Michael and Elliot, and we're looking forward to cracking some champagne with you in a couple of weeks' time. And thanks very much for joining us here at Elite Agent.
Thanks, Sam. It's been fantastic and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. All the best.
Thank you, and we'll see all of you guys next week.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.